Welcome
to the Local Economic Development Podcast,
hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyerstammer.
For other programs in this series,
please have a look at www.ledcast.net. In today's program, we are going to look at an issue that is invariably coming up in all the LED initiatives that we have come across anywhere, and that is, how about the involvement of business? And more specifically, why is it often so complicated to get business involved? And what can you do to actually get the buy-in of business into your local economic development process? Sean, your first shot at the first question. Why is it so difficult to get business involved?
Jörg, I think that the most obvious response would be that business is busy with business, and that they are busy battling for survival or for growth, or they're battling against competitors,
yeah,
or they're trying to manage their resources or whatever.
Right.
And to them, LED sounds like something that is taking away their time.
Right. Is perhaps one of the points, I mean, you mentioned that recently, one of the points is also that for them the concept of local economic development is strange. They think that they know exactly what the development of the local economy is like because they are shaping that. And then somebody says, let's do local economic development, and they think, wow, but aren't we doing that every day?
Yes, in my conversations with business owners, you often find that, you know, our principles and our methods and our logic behind LED to them sound like we are busy with a science or some other discipline or the practice of LED.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you just turn that, you know, LED around and you say, let's help you to develop the local economy, then they say, ah, now why didn't you just say that in the first place? And then if you explain your principles about, you know, let's learn together, let's plug some of the gaps together, then everything suddenly makes sense
right
for them. So we must be careful in probably how we try to involve them into LED by not making it sound too scientific or like there's a massive learning
right
curve.
Okay.
Involved.
Maybe before we look closer at that, let us first take a step back and try to explain briefly what do we mean when we talk about the role of business in local economic development? Are we talking about the big corporates that we sometimes find in our locations? Or are we talking about the owner of the local stationery shop or somebody like that?
I think that we're talking of both of those. It's fantastic when you're in a local economy, have big businesses that you
right
can work with if they're willing to listen and to contribute. But very often in LED, we are stuck with the small companies and the medium companies because the larger companies are connected to international markets and they understand their value chain and so forth. But it's the small businesses that don't know.
And they are quite busy. The big guys are quite busy actually coordinating their international value chains and scanning them all the time and don't really have much time left for local issues.
Yes, and I think there's also something about the credibility of the other stakeholders in LED, specifically the credibility
yeah
of local government, in that big business have often already tried many times before to go and express or assist
yeah
or guide local government and not always getting the response
yes
they expect. So we have often seen that big business just
yeah
withdraws from the process or just goes on with their own insignificant
yeah
activities on the side.
Which is something that is related to one of the items that we often battle with, and that is that when we try to get the support from the big companies, what we often get is the corporate social responsibility people and not the proper business guys from big business.
Well, yes, I always use a picture to say that when big business comes into the room to talk about LED, they often leave
yeah
their business hat outside the room and they put on a social hat, and we want them in this process for their business skin
yeah
skills and their business savvy and the ability to understand
right
markets or to manage resources, and not necessarily for the
yes
you know the size
yes
of their heart. Not that we would say no to that.
Yeah. Now, when you say that from their side, the credibility of local government is often an issue, well, that is not limited to big business. I mean, credibility of local government is often a generic problem, isn't it?
Yes, I think the credibility of local government is maybe a problem also because there's so many different people placing such different expectations or tasks on local government. But maybe I want to say that for local government, the credibility of the business sector is also not always positive. You know, on the times and the places where local government actually know what they want and where they formulated a very clear request, they would find that the business sector is not responding.
I mean, this whole thing often ends up in an exercise of mutual finger pointing where the business sector has all sorts of complaints, many of them perfectly sensible. And local government has all sorts of other complaints, many of which are perfectly sensible, and then they are both blaming each other and nothing much happens.
Yes, and I think that, you know, to get to the right contact person in a big business, or in any business, is tricky. And to get to the right contact person in the local government around the issue is sometimes tricky. So there's just this mutual standoff where it takes too much effort to get to the right person.
I mean, there are real problems. For instance, when you have a local government that consistently is half a year late in paying its bills, or that is utterly and completely clumsy when it comes to emitting building permits or something like that, it's kind of difficult for a business person to imagine that they could play any constructive role in anything because they can't even do their own job properly.
Yes, I think one must bear in mind that business and government runs on completely different management principles. For a business person, it's completely unimaginable to pay suppliers six months late because they know that their whole business would stop. But government can get away with that. But for government, there's certain management principles of the business sector that doesn't make, you know, any sense. So I think one must, as a LED practitioner, be careful to not pick sides and say, well, a problem in LED is that local government is incompetent or that the business sector is too, you know, hard-nosed. And try and bring these two sides together. And maybe we should at some point discuss one of the tools that you and I have used for that before.
As a matter of fact, I mean, the one thing that just crossed my mind is another observation that we often make, and that is that we often, surprisingly often, find that the business sector at the local level appears to be organized, but when you have a closer look, it's utterly disorganized.
Yes, I think that the danger is that people think that the word private sector makes it sounds like a collective. And when you make a few phone calls, you realize that the private sector is highly fragmented. And it's not necessarily fragmented along different business chambers or industry associations. It could sometimes be within a single organization that you have different groups, the old school and the new school, or the old group and the younger group, or the previous chairperson and the current chairperson. So it is a bit tricky. And then there's the dynamic of big business and their roles in the private sector and in chambers of commerce. That is also sometimes a bit tricky to figure out.
And the big guys versus the small guys. And then you have those situations where you have three big companies locally and they can't agree on who's going to be the president of the business chamber, and they pick somebody else who has no influence whatsoever, but is convenient for the big guys because they can push them around. Yeah.
Yes, and all of these things are usually under the surface. Yeah, it's not always apparent on the surface.
Another item that is also related to that is something that I've often observed, and that is simple lack of trust within the private sector.
Yes, and this trust is a symptom in this case, because the trust has been harmed or destroyed due to other activities, due to not being listened to before, or maybe it's simply a trust. You know, in South Africa, I think the lack of trust from the private sector towards the public sector has got a lot to do with completely different sets of priorities. But to then also say that here we also have a problem with the public sector not necessarily always respecting the time of the private sector, which is maybe a point that should be discussed on its own. For the private sector, time equals money. And time spent in meetings and in strategy formulation sessions and in more meetings and in committees and in maybe another meeting is time not on the shop floor.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I often got the sensation that especially proper entrepreneurs, I mean, owner managers of small and medium-sized companies, they have an intrinsic aversion to any kind of meeting or any kind of workshop, except for maybe Lions Club's meetings where they are the speaker. But otherwise, they just hate any kind of meeting.
I think that there's a lot being said about the nature of small businesses and entrepreneurs, and I think it's simply because the main entrepreneur is also the main technical person, is also the main marketer, is the main problem solver. So we just have to recognize that these people are being stretched in all directions.
Where kind of the circle closes. We started by observing that business people are difficult to engage in LED because they are busy. And that is why business people are called business people anyway. Nevertheless, let me just quickly come back to this trust issue. To what extent is trust inside the private sector or lack of trust among businesses one of the problems or one of the obstacles that you confront in LED processes?
I think we touched on that a minute ago when we looked at the power plays within the private sector. So there's also competition. These businesses are competitors for staff and for business premises and for markets often.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's a bit of rivalry between them.
Yeah.
So the trust and the willingness to cooperate is sometimes because of past issues, but sometimes it is also simply because they are rivals.
Yeah.
You know, we had a situation in one city where we did a value chain analysis about a year ago where two really key people of two key organizations were supposed to work together, and they just didn't want to. And over a beer that evening, the one guy said, you know, this guy has been a jerk since nursery school, and we've been fighting ever since. So, you know, sometimes when you work in a local economy, there's a long history of people, you know, being rivals.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for them to compete so fiercely, but it really mess up your LED process when they are competing for this.
I had this interesting experience one time in Brazil where the fact that one of the very important, very visible local business owners had kind of cheated everybody else 30 years ago still had a very, very serious impact in terms of trust 30 years later. So these guys also, I mean, I think it's very common in local communities that people have something like an elephant's memory, and even things that are in the distant past still shape their expectations today.
It's interesting that you should mention that, because in LED we very often count on this institutional memory of the local community, this social capital. And while remembering what worked three decades ago can work in our favor now, it's unfortunate that sometimes what went wrong three decades ago will also not be easily forgiven.
Right. That's also true. Maybe let's look at a couple of ways how we can address these issues. I mean, I often like to argue that whenever we start with an LED process in any given place, we rather assume that there is some, what my Brazilian friends would say, some skeletons in the wardrobe, some bad memories from the past, a certain level of distrust among public and private sector, a certain level of distrust within the private sector. So assuming that all is there, and that it's not easygoing, how do you start? How do you initiate a process taking that into account?
Jörg, I think there's a point that links our previous discussion and the point that you've just raised, and that is that there's a lot of suspicion when anybody stands up and takes the lead. And everybody's trying to figure out, now, why is this guy suddenly doing this? Is he now running for mayor?
Right.
So I think, you know, one of the things that you have to get into the mindset of the locals is that this is about learning.
Yeah.
And that this is about starting a process together and learning together. I think that is really essential. And that is about the only way that people will also forgive people for past mistakes.
Yeah. However, when you explicitly introduce a process like that, won't you often find that people say, look, come on, we are grown-ups. We are beyond learning now. Come on, don't come with this kind of nonsense. We also need to earn money now. So how would you package that? How would you sell that?
Well, what I typically do is I start with that quote that's attributed to Einstein about the definition of insanity. Let me see if I can get this right. Einstein defined insanity as repeating the same actions but expecting a different result.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say people, look, if we go on like we are going on now, we are not progressing. So it means we have to try some new things. We have to take some risks together.
Yeah.
And we have to learn together. Otherwise, we're going to end up insane. I find business people respond to that.
Okay.
Public sector people don't always respond to that.
Okay. I'm not going to ask why now.
I can answer why. I think that very often local government is expected to solve the problems forever. They have to make a massive number of decisions in a very short time. And they have to make the correct decisions. So for public sector, there isn't this incentive to learn and to learn and to learn.
Okay. Now, one of the other points that I often like to make is that in order to get the buy-in of the private sector, what you would like to use as, well, not just a tactical device, but actually as something that can get very substantial interest from their side, raise substantial interest from their side, is quick wins. To try to look at activities that give you quick wins that show that you actually can achieve something with local economic development.
Yes, and you know, Jörg, you've become quite known for your hammering the quick wins point. And I just want to mention that starting with the biggest problem first, or one of the most pressing problems first, will not get your LED process very far.
Yeah.
And this quick wins then relates back to the learning point. And the tangible benefits makes it easier for business people to become and stay involved in the process.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I should highlight and very explicitly and loudly state that LED is not supposed to be about quick wins forever. But you really need them at the very beginning, because if you don't get them, you're not going to make any progress at all, and you'll never get to the really important strategic interventions that you want to pull off.
I think that the quick wins is also like a dating phase in a relationship, where the partners can figure out how much they trust each other, and you get a chance to prove your credibility.
Yeah, good point.
You know, so with a quick wins phase where you try to just let's just do something together, gives both or all the different stakeholders in LED a chance to show that they're committed to the process. And as they learn to work together and to think together and to trust each other together, they can take on very big projects with a very long timeline and they would be successful.
Right, yeah. And I mean, the if you look at how to create trust in a very technocratic perspective, of course the main statement you would make is, well, the best way to create trust is by creating opportunities to cheat and then make sure that people don't cheat, right? which is one of the reasons why we emphasize those quick win activities where the risk of cheating is not very strong. I mean, what often happens is that when you ask business people about ideas for collective action, they say, purchasing cooperative or sales cooperative or something like that. And that is always extremely high-risk activity that usually goes wrong. So that's one of the things that I always try to discourage, and I try to steer local people to something where the risk of failure is very, very low. But still, maybe there is some risk of somebody behaving in an opportunistic way, but then ultimately not doing so, and thus creating the impression that, hey, even this guy who's usually not to be trusted that much, even he is playing along now, and maybe we should trust each other to a certain extent.
I think also that, you know, we said earlier, we never start a LED process completely with a blank slate.
Yeah.
And in any local community, there are people that are already trustworthy, that can be trusted,
yes.
and that's got a high integrity.
Yeah.
And you need to pull them into the process and allow other people to associate or affiliate or connect with them. And these people are not always the most prominent people. Some of them work behind the scenes, and they are just normal people doing normal activities. Sometimes they're a teacher, sometimes they're a business person, but they have tremendous credibility.
Yeah, that's what we call the connectors.
Well, I think that the connectors are the people. I don't know if they're always the same, but I think connectors are people that are involved everywhere. But they're probably involved everywhere because they are trusted.
Yeah, right. And the connectors are very often not the people who are the president of the business chamber or the president of the Lions Club or the chairperson of whatever else. So when you look at functions and the leaders that appear to be the outstanding leaders, you may or may not come across the connectors, because the connectors may be the people who like to connect informally and who like to play their role in a very informal way.
What we can do on our website is just maybe put a reference to Malcolm Gladwell's book on the tipping point.
That's right.
Where that the connectors are explained.
Another point that we have been talking about quite a lot, and I'm still wondering to what extent that is useful, and I've got mixed experiences. Pointing out to local stakeholders, and especially to business people in a location, that not only their firms are competing with other firms, but also that their location is competing with other locations. To what extent does that raise awareness that it might be useful to act as a location, as a group of people in a given location?
Jörg, I have had very different responses in different places to this concept. In South Africa, public sector leaders are not so keen on locations competing.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the poverty that we have, it feels like locations should be working together.
Yeah.
But business people understand this. And when you try to build up a cluster or a certain industry and a key supplier decides to go to the next town, it influences everybody in that community.
Right.
But at the same token, recently I'd experienced in Ghana that the public sector leaders immediately understood that locations compete and that they compete on more than just tax incentives.
Mm. Right.
So to get this message across is sometimes easy and other times it's difficult.
Yeah.
The point is we have to get it past tax incentives to saying, but let's look at how the business sector is organized and how this place functions.
Yeah.
And one must realize that in South African horticulture, as an example, we have one municipal region that's competing with the whole of Kenya on horticulture.
Okay.
So obviously for them to start thinking about how they compete, how this town competes against another country, requires them to work together and to cooperate, but to still remain competitive.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I also often felt that for tourism locations, this kind of argument is easier to understand.
Yes, I think that it's maybe easier for the tourism sector to think of where their tourists are coming from than for a steel sector or a steel cluster to think where's the next investor or the next important firm in the value chain going to come from.
Yeah, right.
So maybe all economies that depend on people coming in would be a bit more aware of their competitiveness than the people that's shipping their products to wherever the customers are.
Right. Okay. So to summarize what we said so far is, in order to get the buy-in of the private sector, you try to play to the interest of the sector to get quick wins, to get something visible and tangible out of the process. You don't threaten them with endless meetings and endless workshopping. You try to engage with connectors. You try to convince them that as a location, they need to work together to compete with other locations. And you try not to come up with too ambitious and too risky collective action initiatives. One of the things that I have found occasionally in some places is that something like a core group of people, of credible people, informal or formal leaders from the public sector, from the private sector, sometimes from academia, sometimes from NGOs, formed to drive the LED process. To what extent does that match with your experience?
As you know, whenever you have a group of people coming together like this to drive a process, as long as you don't call them a formal committee, it seems like they work just fine.
Right.
So, you know, my experience is that when you get a group of people together like this, the topic must be exciting. It must be intriguing to this group of people. And then you must work with them as a group of equals, as intellectuals.
Yeah.
And then you find that the collective intelligence of this group goes up beyond what any one of those individuals could do on their own. But the problem with many of the formal LED fora or committees and other structures that exist in local economies is that very often the collective IQ of this group of people is lower than the average of any of the individuals. And if you read up on this, you will find that to get groups to function together, you need everything that we have just discussed. You need credible participants. You need trust. You need an emphasis on learning. You need to motivate them by quick wins, keeping people interested. So I think what we've just discussed is probably applicable to more than LED.
Yeah. So the last conclusion then is, if you try to build a LED committee or an LED forum or something like that, and you try to balance it nicely and make sure that all the relevant groups are represented and that it reflects all the different idiosyncrasies of the local community, you effectively make sure that LED is not going to take off. And conversely, if you create a group that is very much based on voluntary participation, on intrinsic motivation and all that, but maybe doesn't reflect the idiosyncrasies, maybe is not well balanced in one way or another, but still works, you have a pretty good chance that are going to have a very strong LED process.
Yes, I think that we should maybe in a future show concentrate on how to get fora to work, because I think there's a lot of interest in that.
Ah, yes.
I just want to add two comments, and that is that it seems that when you organize a group of people to solve a specific problem or to address a specific topic, they work better. And I think that it is because people can, in their mind, so it's safe to be involved in a process where you know it's going to take this many days, but the outcome is going to impact me or influence me or make me feel good about myself. You know, so it's not an endless process. So maybe this return on effort is quite a useful term to use to measure whether the participants in this process will get something out. And then Jörg, a second point that we have experienced so often is that the role here of the LED expert should be on facilitation.
Right.
To facilitate these groups to move closer to each other and to facilitate equal opportunities to contribute and to facilitate a reflective process so that there is learning taking place.
Yeah.
You know, so that when a mistake is made, that you learn from it and you go forward from it. So I think that, yeah, facilitation is really critical.
Okay. I think we can leave it at that for now. We also have just defined an item for one of the next shows, namely to look at LED fora and similar bodies. So that should definitely fill one program in the future. Any last remarks?
About this show, I think that the role of business in LED should really be taken on from they need to be quick wins. They need to be credible wins for business. About another point that I just want to raise, and that is I want to thank all the people that has sent us comments or that's called us about this show, about this podcast series. And we really want to just thank you for your ideas and the practical comments that we've had. Maybe you have noticed that we have changed some of the sound and the intro to this show. And we want to really invite you to send us your comments and your ideas and to start discussions around some of the topics that we are bringing into this format.
Yes, I fully support that. I must say I was also quite amazed that all of a sudden we do have listeners and quite a few. And it's of course, I'm extremely delighted about that. And it's a big encouragement.
So, yes, if you have any ideas or if you're wanting to contribute in a future show, then please just get in touch with us via the website.
Yes. Sorry, maybe that is actually one of the points that we should mention explicitly, and that is we don't plan to have this as a program where Sean and Jörg talk and nobody else. Rather, we are planning to have a whole series of shows where the both of us or one of us is talking with one or two LED practitioners about a specific item, a specific topic. So if you want to get involved, if you think that you have a nice story to tell, an interesting experience to share, please do indicate that to us, and we will be more than happy to have a conversation with you.
Great stuff.
And the last thing we should mention is that our website is www.ledcast.net. Talk to you again soon. Cheers.
Cheers.